Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Monday, ladies and gentlemen, and more importantly, happy draft week. That's right. We have finally arrived at the 2025 draft week that's taken off on Thursday night, continuing on Friday evening, and then finishing up on Saturday afternoon throughout the day right here in Green Bay, Wisconsin. It is somewhat insane around Lambeau Field at the moment. Made my first visit inside the grounds, and let me tell you, there's a lot going on all across the draft campus on the outside, and then inside the building, it is nuts. Had to go inside today for Brian Gutekunst's press conference, where he revealed all sorts of draft secrets. No, he didn't. But it's always good to hear from the general manager prior to the draft, and that's what we did today. Always good to hear from you fine folks. Already lots of folks mixing it up in the comments section. Hello. Hope you're all doing well. Hope you all had a great weekend. I know I did. I had a phenomenal time this weekend. Good to be back in Wisconsin. Always good to be talking with you fine folks across the world. Packers fans worldwide, that's what we're all about. Speaking of what we're all about live streaming on Thursday and Friday night right here on Cheesehead TV. Be sure you join us throughout the first and second and third rounds on Friday night. It's going to be a great time. Lots of fun, lots of guests, lots of surprises, mostly provided by the Green Bay Packers because we all know they rarely do what we expect them to. Of course, Wednesday night, hope to see you guys downtown here in Green Bay at Stage 1, the NFL Draft Meetup for Cheesehead TV, Wednesday, April 23rd from 8 to 11 p.m. We got Carry the G on special, Cheesehead TV giveaways, and some special Packers guests coming through throughout the evening. Speaking of Carry the G, if you haven't tasted it yet and you can't make it out on Wednesday night, Wednesday afternoon, we'll be at the Bay Park Mall here in Ashwaubenon at 1 p.m., there will be a few of our friends there. I believe Andy Herman will be in attendance. Matt Ramage, Tom Grassi is rumored to be stopping by. So come on through, a Q&A at the mall, and you can do a little bit of Carry the G tasting at the Hy-Vee that's connected to the mall. It's going to be a great time. That's 1 p.m. Make sure you're there extra early so we can chat. And we'll do a mock draft and kind of go through the first round and see what we think, how we think the board is going to fall on Thursday night and who the Packers will have a chance to select. And that's what Brian Gutekunst was talking about, among other things. Obviously, I think the newsy headline coming out of that presser, and there rarely is much real hard news, probably 2 points. The expectation that Quay Walker and Devontae Wyatt will stick around past their final years of their rookie deals. Brian was asked specifically about the potential to utilize a fifth-year option on either guy. He obviously wouldn't commit to that, but he did say he expected them to be kept in the fold by some mechanism or other. Now, what that most likely means is some kind of contract extension, though I don't suspect it'll be a big-time commitment. I think there's a decent chance we see something like what they did with Jordan Love when they made sure to keep him in the fold a couple years ago. Maybe a little bit more extended than that, like a 3-year deal or something. But it's very clear from Brian's words today that Quay Walker and Devontae Wyatt are in the long-term plans for the Packers. And as Brian also indicated, long-term used to mean like you're looking 5 years down the road as a general manager. But these days, it's much more about a 2 or 3 year view. And in that vein, sounds like Quay Walker and Devontae Wyatt will be in the fold, members of the Green Bay Packers, for the foreseeable future these next few years. And then the other bullet point, not really news, but he was asked about Jaire Alexander, and he did say he is on our roster right now, which of course you could extrapolate to, well, that's right now, probably doesn't mean long term. You know, he essentially punted on the question, but it doesn't feel like there's been much movement there either way. I still maintain I'll be very, very surprised if he's a member of the Green Bay Packers in 2025. I don't think we'll get a resolution this weekend. I don't think anything happens during the draft itself. I do suspect there's a decent chance he is released after the draft. But we shall see. He's gotten water from a stone before, Mr. Gutekunst, when it comes to getting some kind of draft compensation for a guy that most of the league was pretty sure he was going to cut. So we'll see what he's able to pull out of his hat in that regard. The other thing that I saw really catch fire on the internet today and on Twitter was his essential confirmation that they do not use RAS. And I don't think anyone thought they were using RAS when it came to their draft evaluations. I think most people understand that that is, yes, something developed outside by Ken, who just came up with a really good formula to have a good roadmap to what the Packers are looking for and what they prefer when it comes to the athletic testing that these guys used to do all across the board. Brian did lament a little bit today how much harder the job has become in terms of the athletic testing and getting some kind of basis to do your evaluations from as far as those metrics go, because guys are opting out of so much when it comes to the testing during the draft process. So, he did also confirm that, yeah, they use their own metrics. They have an analytics team, and there are certainly thresholds that they're looking at and coming to their conclusions from, but it is not RAS specific. But again, I don't think anyone really thought that, but it was good. I think that's the first time he's been asked point blank about it, and he did respond. So a little bit of inside baseball there for you. What's going on, everybody? Good to see you all. Brad, I want to give you a shout out. Thanks so much for becoming a Carry the G Club member. Greatly appreciate the support. Be sure to hop on our draft stream on Thursday night. Everybody who's a Carry the G Club member and a Patreon member gets to come on board and hang out with us all throughout the first round and the second and third rounds on Friday. The information for that will be on your respective pages later this week. Be sure you check it out. Brandy, thank you for the super chat. All the stressors of being a GM, I think Goot handles it well in public. You think he goes home and hits a worn-out punching bag repeatedly? I mean, I got to imagine there are moments of frustration, but I also think what you see is what you get with Brian. You know, even before he got this job, that's how he was. Throughout the years, you know, I met him many, many years ago when he was still an area scout, and he hasn't really changed much. You know, it's not like he's a different guy than he was prior to getting this job. And I think that temperament has served him well. And it's one of his strengths that he doesn't really pay attention to a lot of the media side of things, the public facing side of things. I understand he has to be accountable to the public, especially as the general manager of the only publicly owned team in the league. But yeah, he doesn't let himself get driven by it. And I think that's smart. But I think he's human, and there's little doubt there's going to be moments and probably times. Certainly throughout the whole Rodgers saga a couple years ago, I'm sure there were frustrations that, to your point, never really surfaced outside, never really surfaced publicly. But I got to think there was plenty of moments behind the scenes when it came to that kind of thing. What else we got here, folks? What's going on? Jim is here. What's up, Jim? How you doing? Larry, interesting question. How much does the, quote, insurance the Packers got for Ja missing games weigh in? If he gets hurt this season, is there more league insurance? Not sure it sets up that way. There's little doubt that there's a lot that goes into kind of injury and what happens with guys' contracts and bonuses and things like that. And yes, there is insurance involved, but it's not as straight-lined as that. Now, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I'm like some actuary and have a great handle on how it's, you know, how the league and the team traverse that thing. But I do know that it's a little bit more involved. Clay, thanks for the super chat. Flying in tomorrow, should I try to get standing room for Thursday? Also, any rec fish fry Friday night in near Door County? Can't wait for the meetup. Thanks, Clay. In near Door County is really kind of out of my jurisdiction. I wish I had a better answer for you there. I'm sure someone in the chat will be able to help you. If you're able to get down to the Fox Valley, I highly recommend the Club Tavern in Menasha, though. Get there early. As far as standing room for Thursday, yeah, you absolutely should. No question about it. You just need the NFL One Pass and you can walk right in. And I think most people are going to be standing. You know, it ain't a sit-down event, my friend. There will certainly be plenty of opportunities, like in this parking lot right behind me, for you to stand and watch the proceedings. Absolutely should do it. No question about it. Trevor says, Nightingale in Sturgeon Bay. There you go. Jim, interesting question. Does Brian have someone on staff to watch the team's practice tape? Not necessarily. I mean, I'm not sure what you mean other than, do you mean cut it up? All that stuff is provided on a server for anyone in the personnel group to access anytime they want. But when it comes to actually like looking at the tape and seeing how guys are progressing and what they're doing in practice. Brian's doing that himself, along with all the guys in personnel. I mean, that's why it's there, right? That is part of the job. I mean, it is cut up and categorized and easily accessible made that way by someone else. But as for the watching of the tape and coming to conclusions and seeing where guys are, that's all Brian's work, no doubt about it. What else we got here, folks? Hey, Brandon, how are you, man? Hey, Nags, I am taking my nephews 16 and 12 to the draft on Thursday and was wondering if you had any recommendations on what to do or where it would be a good time to get up there. Well, I think on Thursday they're opening the doors at noon. I got to suspect there's going to be a big crowd ready to get in, even at that early stage. All I can say is the earlier the better. The traffic is going to be a challenge at times in certain places. There's no doubt about it. If you're coming up, which I imagine you just said, if you had any recommendations, but if you are coming up from down yonder, I highly recommend if you're coming up 41, taking Ashland Avenue rather than trying to get in Oneida or Lombardi. It's going to be a hell of a lot better. And even then, I think it's going to get backed up pretty well. As far as recommendations on what to do, I mean, the draft experience is going to be very, very cool. There's going to be lots to do, both for, you know, the grown-up set who want to hit the Wisconsin dive bar that they've set up, and then plenty of stuff for kids down to the other end in Titletown. So, you know, I think the draft experience itself will have plenty on offer. But if you are really looking to do something in the area outside of kind of the Lambeau area, I have a video here on the channel, Nagler's Top 5 Things to Do in Green Bay. Make sure you check that out. Let me see what else we got here, folks. William, thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. Appreciate you, man. Heard this draft isn't as talented. Do they worry about value at each pick, or is that more media bias? Thanks for all you do. Thank you, William. I mean, I think it's fair to look at it in comparison to other drafts, right? And say, okay, maybe it's not as top heavy, or there aren't as many of a certain type of player available. But I don't buy, and I agree with Emery Hunt on this, who I know, I think he tweeted about this last week, and we talked about it on our Under the Radar video a couple weeks ago. You know, every year we hear, oh, well, this class isn't as deep, or this, you know, this position group doesn't have very much after the first round, et cetera. And in comparison to other years, I can understand that kind of viewpoint, but there is talent in each and every draft. It is just about finding it and about finding a good fit for your program. There is zero doubt in my mind there will be really good players selected all 3 days of this draft. The challenge, of course, yeah, is to find it and find a good fit. But I don't buy that, oh, this year you're not going to be able to get anywhere near the talent that you maybe got in years past, especially if you're able to find and make the projections for your program and how guys and everything they do works in conjunction with you know, the scheme and your teammates and things like that. I don't think I certainly don't think a GM is sitting there going, oh, well, you know, I could trade down and get more picks, or I could take this guy who's a perfect fit for what we do. You know, in comparison to years past, this, I wouldn't have taken this guy. So then he gets shy and doesn't pull the trigger. I just don't think they think like that, you know. Now, that said, again, I understand the comparison, and I'm not sitting here saying that there aren't bad draft class or classes that don't produce as many and as deep talent, et cetera. I mean, we've certainly seen throughout the year, like 2015 always jumps to mind, where, man, that was a rough outcome when it comes to the league and where guys ended up. But who knows what would have happened if guys end up in different situations and have, you know, different kind of experiences. And I always talk about the most important fact of the draft obviously happens after the draft: the fit, where they end up, what is their circumstance, who are they working with, you know. And of course, we can't know any of that before the draft. So a long-winded way of saying I don't really think it applies too much to the process itself. And I do think, you know, they're going to be finding lots of talented players throughout all 3 days this weekend. Braden, thanks for the super chat, man. Bill Huber from Sports Illustrated wrote an article about the Packers drafting the worst in the last decade. What's your take on this? I talked about this a little bit ago. I understand where that's, and he was writing about a couple of different studies that were done. I don't think the weight that those folks have put on where the Packers have been drafting most of the time is really taken into account. Although I will say, you know, Brian went through a rough stretch. And that when he first got on the job, as far as his early drafts, and that came, you know, on the tail or, you know, right after some pretty poor drafts from Ted at the end of Ted's tenure. Now, Brian has drafted better over the course of the last 3 years. And I think, and I hope that trend continues, but I don't doubt that kind of window there, the end of Ted and the beginning of Brian, certainly has kind of dragged them down a little bit. It wasn't as, you know, good, certainly, as it was early in Ted's tenure, where I always, you know, I guess I have to remind people, they were given awards for the most, you know, best kind of value for their draft classes early on in Ted's tenure, you know, especially given that they were often drafting in the 20s. So I think they definitely took a dip. There's no doubt about that. But I also don't think you can deny that the classes have been much better the last three seasons. So we'll see. We'll see where they're headed. Pack Daddy. That's a tough one. Where to park? Question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark. It's going to be a bit nuts. I can tell you that. Certainly, it's going to be like game day on steroids. You know, they're expecting a couple hundred thousand people. You know, it's looking like every day will be about roughly about, you know, three times what a game day traffic would be. So I got to imagine people are going to be parking pretty far away at times and having to walk a little bit. But, you know, much like game days, you're going to find lawns, you're going to see people with signs and just find something and walk to the stadium and make sure you grab a cooler on the way. That's what I would do. Brandy, thanks again. What was your take on Goot's comments about not caring about RAS? I took from that that they have their own version. Goot says the word athletic a lot. He does say athletic a lot. Yeah, I talked about it a little bit before, but why would he care about RAS? It's nothing to do with his process, right? It's something that was created outside and it's kind of like surface level looking at results of testing, et cetera, and then putting in a really kind of, let's call it a crude bucket, most likely compared to what they're doing on the inside with not just the athletic testing, but stuff like the GPS and things of that nature. So I don't think it's a slight. I don't think he's, you know, trying to dismiss the work, so to speak, but, you know, I'm sure he's heard the term and been asked privately about it. And I'm glad you set the record straight. Like we've always said, well, they, you know, they probably don't use RAS specifically. Well, now we know they don't use RAS at all. So that's good. But yes, as far as their own version, they certainly have a group of tests that go probably a little bit deeper analytically and numbers wise that they have utilized for quite some time. Andrew, what's up, man? Nags, it's draft week. Thank the fucking Lord. Amen, brother. Could not agree more. A complicated fella. Traffic shouldn't bother you, Nags, coming from one of the largest cities in the U.S. I didn't say it bothered me. Although I will say, congestion pricing, big win so far. I absolutely flew across Manhattan the other day coming back from Jersey with Olive. Never been across, going through crosstown traffic so fast. Huge, huge win. Love congestion pricing. That said, yeah, no, I'm not worried about it here. I mean, I'm spoiled. I've got Corey's house and yard and driveway and places to park, so that makes it a little easier for me, right? But there will definitely be backup. There will definitely be traffic and way more traffic than Green Bay is used to. I guarantee you that. Amy, how are you? Thanks for the super chat. And thank you so much for the kind words that I saw on Instagram. You're really, really kind. My friends is parking cars like he does on game day, $75 right across the street from the stadium, 1746 South Ridge Road. There you go, people. Now you've got an address. $75, man, people going to make some money this week. Holy cow. And 75 sounds about right. You know, I'm balking at the price. I'm just saying they only got paid. Oh, the Green Yeti. Is preseason over? Week one kickoff this weekend? Asking for a friend. That's the crazy part, right? The fact that we get done with this, and then we got the off-season program, OTAs, mini camp, little summer break, and then training camp and preseason yet to go. Whew, man, crazy. Whew, take the wheel. Brad says, I'm just going to walk from the mall or maybe somewhere north of military. That's a smart way to go about it, I think. It does sound like there's going to be a little bit of rain on Thursday, though it's supposed to clear up for Friday. But it shouldn't be bad. We got a big old storm in Appleton last night. I don't know if they got it up here, but man, I'm talking big thunder, huge rain. It was awesome. And now there's a, you know, it's a windy day here, but it's supposed to clear up again and then start raining on Thursday and then clear up again for the weekend. So it's going to be a touch and go. Pack your poncho, as it were, and get ready. Corey has to have at least one meltdown this weekend. Can you record it? I mean, I don't think so. The man's prepared. And he's like a Jedi Knight, you know? He's ready for all eventualities, and nothing really will faze him this weekend because he is gotten ready for all of it. Now, I think this is also due to the fact that he won't really be participating much in the draft process for the Packers itself. So he's not going to hear anybody talking about Lucas Van Ness needing to come alive. Not going to hear about potential kickers or punters being drafted. All the things that typically set him off traditionally, you know, he won't be privy to any of that. So he's going to be in his garden. He's going to be working. He's going to be chilling. And that's probably how it should be. But if there is a meltdown, if there is a some kind of explosion, I will let you guys know and definitely film it. Michael, interesting question. If Green Bay is really in on Higgins, how far would they be willing to trade up to get him? I would be very surprised if they made the kind of dramatic leap they did when they got Christian Watson, right? I mean, you'll remember they leapt pretty far up the draft board in the second round, and they tried to get into the first round, the pick 32, but the Vikings wouldn't let them. But that said, I don't see that kind of move. I would suspect if they love him and they really want to get him, make sure he's a Green Bay Packer, maybe they jump four or five spots, you know, but I can't imagine that they make some kind of dramatic move the way they did for Christian Watson. I just don't see the same type of player. The ceiling isn't quite there. I think he's going to be a really good player. You guys know I've talked about him a lot. And look, we don't even know if they like him. I mean, I know from the outside looking in, we've talked a lot about it. I think he's a perfect fit. For all we know, he's, you know, they don't even consider him a realistic possibility. That's what makes the draft so intriguing, right? Cheeto, how are you, man? Hey, Nags, does it smell like winning there? I was planning on driving up and grab a pint, but well. Curious what pick would make you lose your shit? That's funny. Andy asked me something akin to that on the radio this morning. I just don't do that anymore. I haven't got upset, like truly upset about draft pick since they took Kenny Clark. I got upset about that one. That one really pissed me off. And then Kenny turned into one of my favorite players of all time. It was a very instructive moment in my life. I don't know how else to put it. I know I've said this a lot, but for anyone who hasn't heard it before, that really was the turning point for me. And that's why at the end of every draft, we do the sign where, you know, the draft review. Nobody knows because we don't. And I'm much more about getting these guys on the field and see what they're all about in the NFL against NFL competition than I am about decrying their selection and talking about how Goody and the Packers have no idea what they're doing and blah, 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 blah. And look, you can have that opinion. Totally. You're right. And I get it. I just don't think it's constructive. It doesn't add to anything. And the worst part is that then it really cements with some people. And then they spend the entirety of that guy's career talking about where he was drafted. And then if he signs a deal about the deal and he was overpaid and blah, blah, blah. I can't, man. I just can't look at the game through that lens. I get it. That is a big part of it. And people love it and engage with it. Godspeed. It is not for me. Clay? How you doing, man? I'll make Club Tavern work. I grew up in Nina. There you go, Clay. So you probably know Club Tavern. If you haven't been, you absolutely should go. Mimsy. Conops couldn't sponsor a day three stream. I think it's best if we leave Conops and day three exactly where it lies at the moment, which is in our memories forever. I think it's great. Those were some epic times. No question about it. But yeah, day three, probably not going to be happening anymore. I'll be doing lots of videos about the day three kind of picks and reactions and kind of uploads from whatever happens on day three for the Packers. But we will not be having a live stream this year. What is that for? No thanks. I choose life. Carrie, how are you? Thanks for checking out the stream on Facebook. Nags, will Goot draft a little differently than last year, considering we have three players that fit the field more play ready? I don't think there's going to be a dramatic shift. I think, you know, we've talked a lot about this throughout the channel. If you look at the conversation I had with Justice about traits versus production, they're always going to be looking at traits, and they're always going to be looking at upside. They're always going to be thinking long term. And he even was asked point blank today, you know, do you need your first rounders or your premium guys, premium picks, to play right away? And point blank didn't hesitate. He said no. You know, some guys, it takes the transition times a little longer. They don't just view it as they've got to get that instant kind of addition on the field. Now, some of it will be dependent on, you know, who they take, what the position is, and what the opportunities are, you know, but they look at it rightly or wrongly, or, you know, for better or for worse, they look at it as long-term investment and getting the best players for the longest time that they think can come in and grow within not only their program, but in the NFL. And sometimes it leads to some head scratchers. I'm not going to lie. Tyron Hopper is still a mystery to me, but that's their process. And I don't see it changing dramatically, but I agree with you. I think they're at a pretty different point in where the program has been the last couple of years as the youngest team in the NFL. I think they certainly, and Gutekunst said it today. He said, I like our roster, and I think we could go out and win today. We could play this weekend, and we could win right now. And that's very true. I agree with that. But to me, that would suggest that, yes, I understand you always want competition, but yeah, this idea that maybe dropping down, getting 10 or 12 picks, right, and then bringing all those guys into camp, I understand, again, wanting to foster that competition, but at the same time, it is about getting over that hump and taking that next step in your program where, you know, I don't think crawling into the playoffs as the last seed is the idea. You want to be winning the division. You want to be making a march in the playoffs. And you want to be contending. Now, that's all that said, like I indicated earlier, I don't see a monster shift in their philosophy. They're going to operate as they almost always do. And for better or worse, that's who they are. And it has worked. And when it comes to winning football games, they've won a boatload of them. But I don't know about getting over that proverbial hump. We shall see what they do as far as not just who they select, but the guys and positions they maybe don't pay attention to and expect lots of internal development. Because to me, that's the key. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Way more than any guy or any class, draft class that comes through this year, way more important for this season in particular is how the guys from the last couple draft classes, how they develop here in 2025. That is the biggest component. Ed, how are you, man? What would surprise you the most / the least with the draft? The most would be taking a wide receiver in the first round. I know there have been a lot of rumblings like this could be the year. I'd still be absolutely shocked. What would be the least? Surprise me the least. Taking an offensive tackle in round one. Taking any offensive lineman in round one. Hell, some guy, a kid who I haven't heard a lot when it comes to connecting him to Green Bay, but who could totally be in play at 23 is Gray Zabel, who could play pretty much any of the three interior positions along the offensive line. I have seen very little buzz about him potentially being the pick at 23. I know people would say they just paid Banks, they just moved Jenkins to center. Why? But again, it's about that long-term investment. If they think he is the best investment at 23, it would not surprise me. That's something that wouldn't surprise me. That probably would surprise a lot of people. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor and hit like on the video. Subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.